All right, what's going on, everybody? We're back. Guest Friday. Great to be back. We got Chris Burns back. We're talking Masters this time of year. And Chris, great to have you back. Great to be talking some golf here.
Gary, good to see you. Appreciate you having me back on the pod. I was looking, I think this is my fifth appearance, which is pretty cool. I'm almost a regular now,
There you
which is
go.
cool. So yeah, did the Masters preview last year, hoping to have another one this year. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you hit the five timers club, if that so they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, great to have you back. Great to talk Masters. Obviously, we're here recording this Thursday night. There's been a round that's been played. Currently, Justin Rose is in the lead at seven under, so he had a good first round. So, kind of was gonna start. There, but also talk about, guys that I think guys that you're expecting to do well this weekend and like favorites and storylines and things like that. But why don't you start about like who you expect to do well this weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is kind of nice that we're doing this on Thursday night, so we have one round in the book. So, if I gave a pick and they like John Rahm was plus three today, I'd be looking pretty dumb right now. But
Sure.
I think it's interesting. I think like the past couple of years, past few majors at least for sure. We're looking at Scottie, we're looking at Rory as the heavy favorites. Obviously, there's the potential of some of the live guys like Bryson, Brooks, and Rahm. But I'd say like you're looking at Scottie and Rory as the favorites, and there's some Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Bryson. But I'd say beyond, it's kind of your usual suspects at the top. But beyond that, there's a potential for someone else from the outside to kind of make a run and win the thing. Like you mentioned, Justin Rose, 7 under par. He's leading by three over Connors, Scottie Scheffler, and Ludvig Aubert, who I'm a big fan of. I think he's 25-year-old Swedish. He was able to join the PGA Tour through their like accelerated tour card program. The thing is, last year was his first full year on the tour. He got his first PGA Tour win at the end of last year, and I think he's very poised. His swing is beautiful. Like when he's on, it looks like he's automatic. So he's tied for second right now. I'd look at him. He's actually he's my pick to win it all. I think Scotty's the easy option. I think he has a great chance, but I'm gonna go with Oberg to be the winner on Sunday.
And it's funny. I remember when we did this last year, he was one of the guys that you were talking about in terms of kind of a younger guy. And, that would be pretty exciting to see him do well this weekend.
No, for sure. I've been a fan for a while. And I, yeah, it's actually funny. I was looking at the betting odds before this, and they may have changed a little bit, but I saw Scottie was like the heavy betting favorite at plus 220. And then the next closest was Rory at plus 650, and that was before his blow up, because he double bogey 15, double bogey 17. He had a tough finish to the day, so he's even par, so I'm sure that number's changed. But it is interesting. You have Scottie Scheffler, who's three back of Justin Rose, but all the bookmakers are saying he's still by far the favorite, which I think just shows the confidence of Scottie, but also Justin Rose is a good player and he's had some good performances in majors. But I don't know. I think it'd be very, very impressive if he went wire to wire with the win. I guess I don't think it's going to happen.
Talking obviously about a bunch of different guys, what are some storylines like coming into the tournament that you're kind of watching, or could be anything about certain guys, or maybe what's going on in golf right now?
For sure, for sure. I mean, I think there's a couple. I think one underrated storyline is that Xander Schauffele, he won the last two majors, and if he wins the Masters, he has a chance to hold three majors at the same time, which means he'd be the reigning champion at all three, which is a pretty impressive accomplishment. And you think of the year that Scottie's had the past couple of years, and like Rory has been the dominant faces, Rahm, but Xander, who if he wins this weekend, could be the holder of three major tournament trophies at the same time, which is very impressive, not an easy feat. I'd say beyond that, just like I talked about at the top, the continued dominance of Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he looks like the best player in the world, and he's obviously in contention already after Friday. And I think another big one when it comes to the Masters is Rory. I don't know. I have some take on Rory. I think everyone loves him. He hasn't won a Master in over a decade. I think I saw some stat that was crazy. It was like the time, like Rory's major drought is essentially as long as Tiger's major drought was between 2008 and the 2019 Masters.
Wow.
Which, if you think about all the things Tiger had gone through, and like all the public stuff, and the injuries, and the comeback, and win, it felt like an eternity. And Rory's quickly approaching that major drought. But I will say, I don't know if you have takes about Rory. I think everyone's a massive fan. I think he's a great golfer, but I never have faith. I always think he's going to have a bad day. He's going to blow up, like we saw it. It sucks to say, but like at the U.S. Open last year, like we saw him choke versus Bryson. We've seen it in the past. I think he. There's something mentally that he doesn't have, or he can't quite get over the hurdle, and so I think everyone's rooting for Rory, and I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to shake that reputation when it kind of is happening, over and over. And it's like sometimes there's athletes that get that label and it's just hard to shake at a certain point. But yeah, I mean, I think as kind of one of the only golfers that like I recognize when I'm watching stuff, always kind of pull for guys that but it is also
For
exciting.
sure.
They're kind of newer, younger guys that like maybe you want to see do well.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. Like, he can be a likable guy. He's got a ton of fans, and he's been like, it's one of those things where it's almost like when you're so successful for so long, you're in the public eye, you're in the top these leaderboards every single weekend for a decade. It's almost like it's a blessing and a curse, because if you don't get it done, then everyone's like, wow, like Rory's a choker. He has all this negative attention on him. But it's like, you look at it, he's been in top 10 in so many majors, so many Masters. So we'll see if he can get it done. I mean, he started, like he said, he was 4 under through like 14 today, or through 13, and then doubled 15, doubled 17. So he finished even par, and it was a couple bad doubles. But we'll see. I think he was hitting the ball well. So we'll see if he can recover over the weekend.
So as a golf fan, obviously you've watched the Masters for quite a while. I'm curious about your like favorite parts of the Masters weekend and like the whole like tournament, because obviously there are different parts of it that are, pretty cool.
No, I just think, for one, it's like, as a golf fan, someone who likes golf, it's the biggest weekend of the year, in the sense that like my friends who aren't big golf fans are talking about it, and like everyone watches it, everyone tunes in, which is really fun, because everyone's like, oh, you see what happened to the Masters, and like, yes. It's cool to the same course every year, I think, like Augusta. I mean, I've never been there before, but it seems like it's absolutely incredible, like super well run and like beautiful. I don't know, I think it's just like a It's kind of fun when in sport everyone rallies around one certain event, and sort of, you get every year you get people rushing to get to the merch tent and get all the new Masters merch, and you see all the pictures of the concessions and how you can get like every item for under $5 and that kind of stuff. So I think it's really cool. And also just like how much the players care about it. Like, I think if they talk about majors, the Masters is usually their favorite, or like the one that they want to win. So I think it's cool. There's like a history and like a respect there, and the players really care about the Masters. But I will say, I have a take. I do think it is still, I think it's an overrated tournament, in the sense that I love it, it's great, but everyone's like, the Masters is obviously better. It's obviously the best major. And I don't know if that's necessarily true. I love the US Open. I think the fact that it's on different course every year makes it super interesting. You see different tournaments every year. Like, I think, like, every year the winner of the Masters is around like 10, 11, 12 under par, which is cool. It makes for a fun tournament. But I love when some of the U.S. Open courses, the winner's at 4 or 5 under. And there was something like at Chambers Bay a while back, I think the winner was like minus 22. So I think it's cool when they change the courses up and they have, different unique elements. But I mean, Masters is still the Masters. It's great, and it kind of kicks off the golf season, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that that's definitely a great way to start off. It's like the tournament that's like the most recognized by, I guess people that are casuals, I guess kind of like me, somebody that's not, regularly watching golf, but like always like to tune into the Masters to kind of see what's going on. Kind of am curious about this next thing I wanted to talk to you about, whether or what like the latest is going on with PGA and LIV, and like whether, if there's if they're ever going to figure out an agreement, why are they coming together for this tournament and maybe not others? So kind of curious to get your thoughts on that whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I think for one, we don't know a whole lot. There's been like a PGA Tour Live like framework that was put together, but then we haven't heard anything like since then. I think it kind of seems like PGA Tour and Live are kind of trying to split, but Live doesn't want to go away for completely, and the PGA Tour doesn't want to give up their like, I mean, now it's not really a monopoly, but they don't want to have to split and be like these dual competing leagues. So I think no one really knows. I think some journalists have asked players too, and they really have no idea at this point. They're just like playing golf, trying to do what they can. And I think the players, like, they love to play in this tournament. I think, well, for one, a lot of the guys are there because of the majors has special exemptions. Like for the Masters, if you've won it, you can play no matter what. So you'll get like Sergio, Patrick Reed, Jon Rahm, a lot of these guys who have won it before. Get an automatic exemption. Same for if you win a major within the past 5 years, if you're like top 50 in the golf world ranking, if you do these certain things. So a lot of the LIV guys have been playing on the other tours, like the DP World Tour, the Asian Tour. They've been trying to qualify for these other majors because the LIV doesn't really count towards this system. So they've been having to play other events to try and get qualified. But yeah, I mean, I think there are 12 LIV players in the field this year. And the ones that people are looking at with a real shot would be the Rahm, Bryson, Brooks, probably. And then Sergio Garcia, I guess, has been playing pretty well on the LIV tour, as sort of like a older kind of maybe has a fighter's chance. He's won the one here before, but yeah, I think the players don't really know. They'll always come to the majors, and I think they love playing golf together. And I think Brooks even had a quote that he was like, but when we signed up for this, like whatever it was 3 years ago, he's like, we kind of didn't think it'd get this far. We thought we'd emerged and like things would be figured out by now. So I think there might be some regret there from the player side. But at the end of the day, like they can still compete. And like we saw Bryson win a major last year, Brooks win a major, I think last year as well, maybe 2 years ago. So these guys are still really, really good golfers. I think it's fun to see them all play together. It's only the one of the few times per year.
Well, it is great that like you can see them all play together. I think especially for this weekend in particular, as it's kind of the big event for the year. I mean, obviously there are the other majors that are important, but this is kind of like the one where it's like, okay, it's I'll say most important, but I think it's the most like recognizable event in that, it's there, they're there, for people that want to come see them play, when they come to Augusta.
For sure, for sure. And I think like everyone's looking at Jon Rahm this year because he was the defending champ last year. But last year it was just off the heels of like he was moving to LIV, and that was a big kind of shock. So I think there was a lot of mental stuff there. He played a year. He hasn't finished outside the top 10 on LIV all year, last year or this year. But he had a bad day one, a bad Thursday, three over. I think there were some chances that they're like, well, he's won here before. He could get hot if he's mentally like, sharp, he could be there. And obviously there's still 3 days of golf left, but tough start at three over. If you expect to come back to win, he'll need only a couple of big days.
So couple of months ago we had one of our friends, Ryan McNeil, on the program on Guest Friday talking about the TGL. Curious about whether you watched a little bit of the TGL, and I'm curious about whether you think those guys are at an advantage or disadvantage when they do tournaments like this or other tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Ryan is definitely the TGL expert. I did not really watch any of it. I think I definitely saw clips here and there and sort of follow what was going on. I know there's a Boston team, Boston Common Golf. They have a great logo. really cool logo. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool concept, and I totally get why if you're a golf fan, like you love it. But I think like Mondays, I ended up a lot of times watching like there was college football on. There was some college basketball, like Celtics, Bruins. So I think it also it was I wasn't like turned on tuned into the golf season yet, and so I think it's cool if you're a big fan or you were in have it, kind of had the golf bug, but it wasn't really something that I watched.
Gotcha.
I think it ended a few weeks ago. I don't think those players will have an advantage or disadvantage. I think that was more of just like a separate thing. I think all the guys, all the players at Augusta are all tuned in, and they've been practicing for a while. So I don't think that the TGL has a major factor on that.
Yeah, I just didn't know if like, well, yeah, I guess it's not too much different, but I guess I just didn't know if like, doing the stuff with a simulator and then doing it in real life, but I guess it's not terribly
Well,
different.
I mean, it's not a bad thought, but I also think that a lot of those guys do also like guys, even if they're not doing the TGL, they'll do practice when they're not in tournaments on the simulators. So I think a lot of those guys now are so dialed in on their stats. Like they go to the range, they'll hit a ball, and they're really just looking at like what's the ball speed, club head speed, some of the other sort of data points to look at. So yeah, I think there's probably not a huge advantage or disadvantage, except for maybe a few more fans in the crowd might know who they are, but.
Yeah, and it is interesting that you mentioned, when it was on, kind of in the off season, but it's like, kind of a interesting time in the sports calendar when, the NBA, NHL are in full swing, and then there's college basketball and all that. But it was interesting a little bit that I watched, obviously Ryan
Yeah.
and really, really enjoyed talking about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a pretty interesting watch, and I think it's, the golf season doesn't start now, but there's a few tournaments before this, but around April, March, it really kicks up and ends like late August. So it is nice to have like some kind of golf on in the off season in the winter. But yeah, like I don't know, whenever I first see those Masters commercials on my TV during like March Madness or whatever, I'm like, ooh, I need to get outside. You need to get golfing, you hear the birds chirping, the sunshine, and so it always makes me want to golf. I would imagine the TGL would have a similar impact if I watched it.
Yeah, definitely was interesting to check in on that. So obviously, off the top, we talked a lot about, guys that you think are going to do well. I'm curious about golfers that you think have like a lot to prove this year, going into this. And, obviously Rory is definitely probably one of those guys. I'm curious what else you would also think of.
Yeah, I'd say Rory definitely number one at the top, maybe Rahm as number two. Just as one of those live guys who jump ship, he still seems to be one of the best players in the world. But as someone who doesn't follow the live as much, you don't really see those guys that often. So it's like a big chance to prove that like he's still got it. And it is funny, I think there's a lot of guys who it'd be pretty big to win, but it's not like a prove it. Like we've seen Scotty can win, Xander can win, Morikawa can win. A lot of these guys can do it. But I think one person like that also is Max Homa. He's been playing pretty poor golf this season. But he played really well at Augusta last year. He tied for third. But then he had a pretty miserable season after that, did not play well, ended up splitting with his caddy, I think fired his swing coach, got new clubs, so he's really made massive, massive changes. Has not been playing the golf that he wants to. And I did look today. I think he was even or one over today, so not too bad. Like put himself
Well, he was two over
firmly.
today.
Oh, two over. Okay, so I mean, firmly in there. I mean, if he goes under par tomorrow, he'll for sure make the cut. But I think if he has another missed cut, it'll kind of be like raising the red flags, like what's going on with Max Homa. He hasn't been playing well, and now we just missed the cut at the Masters. What's going on? So I'd say he has not even to win, but just make the cut, play well, get a top 20. I think that'd be huge for him. But yeah, other than that, I'd say Rory Rahm at the top of the list for guys who have stuff to prove.
Who would be like a off the board person that you could see winning?
Well, it's cheating a little bit because I'm looking at this at the leaderboard and everyone's had a day.
Yeah,
Because
sure.
what I would have told you before today was Sepp Straka. I thought he was playing really well, but he I think he was five over today. So he's a long shot at this point.
Sure.
I'd say, I mean, this guy, he's not If you watch golf, you know he's a good player. Corey Connors, he's tied for second right now. Canadian, and he's good. You see him at the top of a lot of leaderboards. He's been playing good golf recently. So, I mean, if he's in the mix on Sunday, it wouldn't surprise me if he's up there hanging around, and then, who knows what happens. Another guy I like who, he's probably not going to win, but I think he's very interesting is Akshay Bhatia. I think I mentioned him last year on the podcast as well. He's like a super young guy. He I think when he was 18, he turned pro. A bunch of the guys in his class ended up going to college. And so it's funny now because guys like Michael Thorbjørnsen, who went to Stanford, and a couple other guys, like they're the same age, but Akshay Bhatia has been playing pro golf for 4 years. They did 4 years of Stanford. Now they're back on the tour, and it's kind of like they're all in the same place again. But he's had 4 years of pro experience. So I think he's a really, really good golfer, cool personality. He's sitting at -2, so he's got a bit of a chance, a fighter's chance for sure.
Okay.
And I can't miss this. Not gonna win the tournament, but Fred Couples, shout out to him, -1 today. I think he's 65 years old.
Wow, holy cow.
Yeah, and I saw he has the largest. He went 45 years between his first and his last round under par at Augusta, assuming this is his last round, because I think he was 23 when he was at his first round under par. Now he's 65, and
Wow,
that's the longest. I think I saw it was like him, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer or something are the three. So
that's pretty.
yeah, shout out to him. He had a hole out from like 200 yards with a hybrid today. It was awesome. Using a yellow ball, it's great. It's
That's
awesome
pretty.
to see him doing well.
Any of the amateur guys that like you think would be worth following or you think might do well?
There aren't a ton. No, the leading amateur right now is this guy at +1. He's from Singapore. I haven't actually heard anything about like Hiroshi Tai, I think his name is. But I was looking at the leaderboard. There's a guy from Australia at +4. But I would say we haven't seen anyone, super low. And I don't really recognize any of those names, so I wouldn't say there's a ton of amateurs. Definitely some young guys who have a chance to, go low, but yeah, I don't expect an amateur to win the Masters. That'd be pretty remarkable.
Gotcha. So I think we probably, kind of covered most of the golf stuff. I'm curious about this next topic. So obviously, the Masters dinner happens, I think, usually before the tournament that the champion from the previous year gets to basically put together a dinner menu for the champion. So I figured it would be fun to ask you what your menu would possibly look like if you somehow won the Masters.
Yeah, somehow there's yeah, no, it's not gonna happen, but
It would be a fun thing to do to just,
would
go
be
through.
fun. It'd be a cool dinner. Yeah, it's all the Masters champions. They always release a picture. I think it's the Tuesday night of the Masters, and I heard this year actually that a lot of the guys don't end up eating the dinner. They just end up eating like you can order off the regular Augusta dinner menu, which they have sometimes.
Well, let's before we get into what each of us would do, I think taking a look at Scottie Scheffler's menu, I think makes sense. Do you think that makes sense?
Yeah. Do you have it pulled up right there?
Yes, got it pulled up right here. So he has for appetizers, he has cheeseburger sliders served Scottie style, which don't know what that possibly means.
Sounds good.
And then we also have firecracker shrimp, sweet Thai chili, and sriracha mayo. Sounds pretty good. And then we have Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites. Sounds pretty good.
I will say a note on the ravioli bites. Because his menu is very similar to what it was 2 years ago when he won. Except he added the ravioli bites, and it's kind of, I think, an homage because in December of this past year, he injured himself. He cut his finger while he was making ravioli. And so he missed a few tournaments. He was out for a few weeks. He had to get stitches and stuff. So I think that was a little nod to that. He had the ravioli on the menu, so because cut himself back in December.
And then first course we have Texas style chili, which obviously that sounds pretty. I mean, all this stuff sounds
All
really
this stuff sounds delicious, yeah.
good. And then a main course, there's a choice of wood-fired cowboy ribeye or blackened redfish, and then there's macaroni and cheese on here, jalapeno creamed corn, soy glazed Brussels sprouts, chipotle lime roasted sweet potatoes, and then for dessert, warm chocolate chip cookie skillet with vanilla ice cream. So I don't know. Yeah, all that stuff sounds really good.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing. His menu is great. Most of them are good. Hideki Matsuyama had a really, really good menu. The one I saw recently that wasn't great was Bubba Watson recently was coming around because he won twice. I think one year it was just like grilled chicken breast and like confetti cake or something like that. It wasn't anything that special, but yeah, Scotty's looks really good. But yeah, I was thinking I have one,
Yeah, let's
but
go.
one appetizer. Couple sides and then a dessert. I'm gonna go with for the appetizer, buffalo chicken dip. I
Ooh,
just think it's really, I think it's really good. I don't know. I just and then
Great.
for my main course, I'm just going with a filet mignon, just a nice steak.
There you
I think
go.
it's hard to beat that, you know, cooked well, a good piece of meat. And then with my sides, I had mashed potatoes and corn on the cob, I think, to complete it. And then for my dessert, I just had a Reese's peanut butter ice cream cake.
There you go. Wow.
So
That sounds
I don't know if those foods go together at all, but individually they're great on their own.
Oh,
So
yeah, absolutely.
yeah, I think that's what I'd go with.
Gotcha. Well, I got pretty creative over here, so kind of
Let's see.
excited into this. But yeah, so I put together three different appetizers.
Nice.
Crab cakes, I think, would go crazy, as the kids say. There was a wedding that I was at recently within the last 2 years that had like mini grilled cheeses with like
Nice.
soup, and I was like, that would be an unbelievable
I
addition.
love that move.
And then kind of inspired by Scotty's choice with the cheeseburger sliders, but I thought pulled pork sliders would be a pretty cool substitute. And then as far as the main meal, I thought just go crazy with a bacon wrap filet and like lobster tail, get some mac and
Nice.
cheese in there. So I thought that was pretty good. And then for dessert, just some old fashioned ice cream sandwiches.
I love that. The ice cream sandwich is great. That's a great move.
There.
I gotta hope to win my Masters before you so I can be invited to your dinner and actually have it, you know.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, no, I think that would be I don't know. I'd show up to your master's dinner.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be really good. We should do that for a fantasy football draft in person. We should make it a Masters dinner.
Oh,
Someone's gotta go all out.
there you go. There's an idea.
Yeah.
Chris, always great having you on the program to talk anything. Obviously, this is our second time doing golf. We've done plenty of other things, but great to have you as always.
Yeah. Always happy to be on. Always fun to be on. I love chomping it up, talking sports. So I'm always down. One last note on the Masters, just really hoping. My favorite thing about golf is, I mean, you get a leaderboard on the back nine on Sunday. There's six guys all within one or whatever, all tied. So that's really the goal here. As much as I root for certain golfers and certain guys to do well, all I want is it to be a good, entertaining finish. So that's what I'm hoping for on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should all be hoping for that the weekend. So, yeah, one round in the books. Rest of the tournament will go on this weekend. So I think Friday you can watch on ESPN, and then over the weekend you can watch on CBS. So definitely tune into that if you're not doing anything better this weekend. I don't know what you could possibly be doing
Yeah, I mean the
that's better.
Masters is one of it's appointment television. One of the best napping days of the year too. Saturday afternoon doze off on the couch. It's perfect.
All right, well, Chris, great having you. And yeah, we'll have you on again soon, I'm assuming at some point.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds good.
Good stuff, man.
All right, thanks, Garrett.